thank you for this message that you've put on my heart now. And I just pray that each and every one would get something from this today, and that we would all just commit ourselves to you, Father, to search our hearts. And I ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I want to talk about today is tests. We all go through tests in life. We've all sat through tests in school, and we will still have tests in life from till the day we go home to be with the Lord. So today we're going to do a heart checkup, okay? Because the condition of our heart is vital to living. In the natural, if we had a bad heart, we'd certainly be off to the doctors. Our heart is so important. It's an organ that God created in us to keep us alive. And if our heart is not functioning properly, then everything else in our body suffers in some way. That's the natural heart. But what about our spiritual heart? What condition is your heart in? In Psalms chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "For the righteous God tests the hearts and minds." And the NLT says in the same scripture, "For you look deep within the mind and the heart." So God is looking at our heart, okay? The Bible says he tests the heart. And I guess the good thing about God is if you fail the test, you get to take it over and over and over again until you pass. Unlike school, or maybe not now, but when I went, if you failed, you failed. You didn't get a pass. I think today everyone gets a pass, which doesn't actually help children or people learn, does it? But one of the best examples of God's testing was when he led the Israelites through the wilderness. And we can see that in Deuteronomy where it says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart and whether you would keep his commandments or not." And the NLT says humbling you and testing you to prove your character. I thought they were great scriptures, but they both say something different but yet the same. So, but do you know the worst thing that can happen in church is that we would give a new Christian, someone that's just new in the Lord, that we would promote them to some position. I've seen that happen and I've seen it go bad. Because the Bible says that they will become clouded in their mind and stupefied with pride. and 1 Timothy 3 confirms that. And this is the Amplified version. It says, "He must not be a new convert," so that's a new Christian, new person, "or he may develop a beclouded and stupid state of mind as the result of pride, be blinded by conceit and fall into the condemnation that the devil once did." And so God knows what's in our heart, and it's really important. I can remember when I was first over in the high school, given a position of, you know, ladies ministry, and I thought that was it. I was going to lead the whole ladies in the church, but only to find out that I wasn't, that it wasn't quite there yet. And I learned a lesson because I was just really new. Even though I'd been a Christian for a long time, I was just new to a Pentecostal church. And so really I needed a humbling, and I needed to understand that God had timing in everything. And I really was there to learn under the pastor and to grow in all that. And once I got that in my head, I was fine. I didn't have a problem with that. But sometimes, and I've seen it happen, when people are too new in the Lord, they'll come and they'll be, you know, whatever, worship team or something, and yet they'll fall because we've put them up there. So it's important. That's really important. And we've all got gifts and talents. You know, God gave us gifts, okay? So you have one. Don't say you don't. But should we all be promoted to a place? No, not necessarily. God is more more worried about our character than our gifts and our talents, okay? And sometimes our character just has to be developed. You know, if all people want to do is come and display their talent, well, you've got to do that in the world. The world looks to that. But if you want to serve God with your gifts, there has to be a maturing. I remember years ago some guy who was a great muso out there in the world thought he'd come and join the church. And when the pastor at the time didn't give him the role of worship leading, he soon left and went to another place. And so you realise that, because you don't understand sometimes. You think, well, God's given me this gift. I've got to use it, you know. But there's a maturing, there's a humbling, and it's about what's in your heart. And I look back and I'm really thankful that God made me wait for things. And I certainly went through some tests. And I'm grateful for the pastors that I served under, because that was my testing, that was my training ground. And God obviously thought that I'd pass the test or he would not have promoted me. I would not be here today in this position. And I say that because I remember 20-odd years ago standing over there and being prayed for, and the pastor said, you will be a minister of the gospel. Well, when I was really just new and getting into the Pentecostal way of being a Christian and understanding really the things of God, I didn't tell a soul because I did not know what that meant. Looking back, 20-odd years ago, God has taken me through things, and here I am today. I'm not one to talk about my own things, but I think it's important because I can't use anyone else's example but my own. So I believe if you wait for God's right timing, that you will be there for the long haul. That's the key, isn't it? Withstanding all the things that come along the way. But if you get promoted too early, you can go off like a firecracker and fizzle right out. So the purpose of a test is to find out exactly what we know, okay? And you don't know what you don't know until you're tested, all right? And sometimes you don't know what's in your heart until a test comes. Because God says in the Word, he tests our hearts. He actually already knows what's in there. It's no surprise to him. But that's how we find out what's in there. I know there's a great scripture. I haven't got it up there. But it says, from whatever the mouth speaks comes out of our heart. So, you know, sometimes we might make a real snide comment and we think, oh, where did that come from? It came from our heart because we had some wrong thinking in there or some wrong stuff in our heart. So if you hear yourself say something, you think, oh, I shouldn't have said that, check your heart. I think if we really understood that life, things in life are a test, instead of blaming the devil and blaming somebody else, that can help too. You know, just be concerned yourself on how we're going to walk through this test and pass it. And I believe that we can get there at a supernaturally fast rate if we will do what God wants us to do. And we've seen it, haven't we? People just go round and round the mountain because they're not listening to God. God tests us, but he does not tempt us, okay? He tempts no one, all right? So he allows things to happen, and I look at lots of things as a test because it helps me to think, well, it's just something I've got to go through, but I'm going to go through it and get to the other side. So I do look at things as a test as they come up. And how am I going to react? That's the best thing, not react even, but respond. What am I going to do? So, yes, I've come to understand that if we look at trials that we go through as tests, and if we learn to cooperate with God and what's happening and not giving up, or take the shortcut or the easy way out, we begin to realise that this is a test. And just decide in your heart that you're going to pass it. You see, God, by his Spirit, will lead us and guide us. The Word, it says, is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So we've got no excuse. We should know how to respond because of the Holy Spirit that we have in us and his Word. It's all there, a guide to life. Okay. Now, something that we cannot change are the circumstances. They happen. But remember, God is not surprised. And even as Trevor said, that he opened this poem a month or so ago, it was to prepare him for what was coming. And God does that. He prepares us for what's ahead. We don't always know it at the time, but we look back and we can say, God, you're so faithful because he does prepare us. We just need to be rational and we need to stay stable. Stay in the house. Stay with family. Because we can support and care for one another. And I think that God allows things to happen in our lives because he does test us. And unless we face challenges, we often don't know what's in us. The Bible tells us that tests and endurance develop our character. It's the only way that I've ever seen in the Bible that gives you character, is by going through and enduring. So if you want a good character, that's what you've got to do. Now, there's someone in the Bible who you could say endured lots of tests, and his name was Joseph. And so we're going to look at Joseph's story today. And as we know, and you have to know it, that God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. No one's exempt. It's for all of us. He has a plan. And so he had a huge plan for Joseph. Now, Joseph received a dream. He had a dream from God, and it wasn't long before he found himself in the middle of an unexpected test, a test that didn't even line up with this dream. He had such a big God dream, he probably thought, righto, here it comes in the next few weeks. But he had to go through some enduring of tests to build his character so that God could use him for the plan that he had. So Joseph went from a dream and for 17 years before the destiny of that dream. It was a long season for Joseph, and in fact he went on to experience many tests to his destiny with the plans that God had for him. He was about 17 years old when he received the dreams, and it wasn't till he was 30 that he began to fulfill them. So 13 long years went by. I know people have waited longer than that. Longer than that. But I'm sure it's all worth it in the end. Okay. And I believe that every one of us will encounter some of the same tests on the way from our dream or from the desires that God's put in our heart and our gifts and our talents until our destiny, till his plan is fulfilled. And like Joseph, we will have to pass some of these tests in order to see our dreams fulfilled. So let's look at Joseph's story here in Genesis 37, verses 1 to 9. So Jacob, who was his father, okay? Jacob settled in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived as a foreigner. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended to his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things that his brothers were doing. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them, and they couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. "Listen to this dream," he said. "We were out in a field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up and your bundles all gathered around and bowed before mine." His brothers responded, "So you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. So Joseph had another dream, and again he told his brothers about it. "Listen, I've had another dream," he said. "The sun, moon, and even stars bowed and 11 stars bowed before me." So Joseph unwisely and confidently shared these dreams with his brothers, who already, the Bible said, hated him. Sounds like he was probably a bit of a smarty pants. But Joseph knew his father favoured him, so he pretty much got away with everything. It seemed obvious from the dream that Joseph was destined for great power and influence. And his brothers were envious after hearing the dream. Although they mocked him, this dream to his face, Joseph's father didn't. He didn't discount the dream entirely, and the Bible says that he wondered what this meant. I guess he saw gifts and talents and leadership qualities in his son. So what could explain the long gap between the dream and the fulfillment? Well, there was coming a test right around the corner for Joseph. A few tests, actually, were standing in the way of him moving forward. He was about to have the opportunity to face that obstacle and deal with it. The reason was quite simple. Joseph had pride in his heart. So here's the number one test, pride. Oh, we don't like it, do we? I think we all have pride to some degree. Joseph had pride in his heart well before he had the dreams, and the fact that his father loved and favoured him over the others would have most likely encouraged this pride in him. Verse 2 says that he gave bad reports to his father about his brothers. His father used to send him out and check on what the brothers were doing and see how everything was going. But Joseph felt qualified to come back and judge them, judge their work, even though they were older and more experienced, and he couldn't wait to get back to dob on them so that they would get into trouble. God knew that Joseph had pride in his heart. Nothing takes God by surprise. And God had a huge destiny in mind for Joseph, and he knew the prideful attitude would have to go if Joseph was to succeed. You see, the Bible is full of people who made huge mistakes, and he still chose to use them. That's refreshing, isn't it? There are no perfect people out there. We're all learning, and guess what? That means he wants to use people just like you and me. You see, it's so easy to be judgmental about people that God chooses to be in leadership, whether it be in the church or wherever. And I've realised that God only chooses imperfect people, and he has a plan and a purpose that's bigger than we could ever imagine for that person like Joseph. Why didn't God wait then till he was a little older and more mature and a little wiser, a little more humble maybe? That's what we'd think, wouldn't we? But God knew exactly what he was doing. He doesn't make mistakes in choosing people. He does it so he can grow us and change us to be what he wants us to be. I know that people thought God was making a huge mistake appointing me at the time. And I'm okay with that because I sort of was in that same frame at the time. But, you know, over time, I could totally understand God's plan was not just about me. It was bigger than me. God knew what he was doing, and all I had to do was say yes to that plan and trust him and stay humble, stay humble. But Joseph failed the first test, the pride test, and yet God knew he would. Remember, although we fail, we never actually flunk because we just get to take it over again and again if necessary. You know what? Pride is the ultimate first sin. It's the sin that caused Lucifer to fall. It was pride that Satan used to tempt Adam and Eve to fall as well. And obviously pride and falling are closely linked because the Bible warns us that pride comes before a fall. A great man, his name was John Barnett, he says this: pride is the sin of competing with God. It makes us self-reliant, we don't need God, self-absorbed, it's all about me, self-deceived, self-confident, self-conscious, self-sufficient, self-satisfied, self-focused, self-centered, and self-driven. In other words, it's all about self. It makes us unreliable because nobody can tell us what to do. We're unteachable because we couldn't be corrected. And it makes us competitive because we'll always try to outdo you or someone. And every one of us has had to or will have to deal with pride in our hearts. And every one of us has to pass that test someday if we're to move into God's perfect plan for our life. And God promises that he will continue to do a good work in us until the day when Jesus returns. So not every test is from the devil. Sometimes God just wants to see what's in our heart and what are we going to do here. And God isn't going to give up on changing us. He loves us too much to do that. So it might just mean some more tests, some more going around the mountain if we resist. God has big dreams. Do you know that? He has big dreams for us, and he will persevere as he seeks to get rid of anything that stands in the way. So God will allow us to be tested because it's the only way we're going to grow and build our character. I've observed something in people, and it seemed to me like what you see is not always what you get. Oh, hang on. What you see is not what you get. I'll explain that. Pride might be what we can see in people, okay? As we saw, the bragging of Joseph, but sometimes it goes deeper. Pride is what we call the fruit, but it has a root, and that root of pride is insecurity. And I've seen it. Unless we actually deal with the root cause, it will keep being a problem in our life. Insecurity makes us feel that we have to let everyone know how good we are and all that we've accomplished. And that's one reason that pride often manifests is through bragging. Bragging is a real way of trying to achieve a sense of acceptance by making sure that everyone knows how good we are. But if we take a closer look, we can see something lying behind this sense of insecurity. It's actually fear. Fear that people won't accept us or value us or know how great we are. So we talk about ourselves and how good we are and try to outdo you or outdo someone in the hopes of being considered worthy of acceptance. And it's really sad because that's not the truth. The truth is our achievements, no matter how impressive they are not what makes us valuable. Even our dreams from God, as wonderful as they may be, are not who we are. Just be yourself and don't try to be something that you're not. Don't try to find acceptance. Find it in God, not in people. We are born again Christians. That's who we are. We are blood-washed sons and daughters of the King. That's our identity. That is who we are. You see, Jesus, he didn't walk around telling people who he was. He knew well who he was. If they didn't believe him, he didn't care. He knew exactly who he was. And when Satan tried to tempt him in the wilderness, the first thing that Satan said to try and create an insecurity in Jesus, he said, "Are you the Son of God? Are you?" And then he tried to tempt Jesus to prove it. But Jesus never took the challenge with a direct answer. He simply said, "It is written." He could have said, "Oh, yes, of course I'm the Son of God, and let me tell you about me. Let me tell you about all the things I can do." But Jesus set a beautiful example of security. He rested in the simple truth of his Father's words. And we need to know who we are, really know who we are, that we are his, that he loves us. We are children of the King, his beloved kids. He chose us and adopted us. And we need to find a way to keep these truths a reality every day. And the way we can do this is spend time with God every day. You see, it's easy to be humble when you've been in the presence of a holy God. If you spend time in prayer every day and meet God. And when you meet God and you see how big he is and how wonderful he is, how awesome and how faithful he is and loving, then you know it's only by his grace that we've come this far. And then you can walk away knowing exactly who you are and who you belong to. So this is the only way to pass and to keep passing the pride test. It's also a way to discover God's dreams for you. And if you're not sure about God's best for you, then the best way to find out is get to know him. And you know, he's the one who created you, so spend time with him. You know, there's lots of tests that we go through in life, and in the coming weeks, I'm going to be bringing some more of the tests that Joseph went through. from the dream that God gave him to the destiny of a nation. Okay? And I really felt that this is a really timely message because we do need to check our hearts. And, you know, there's a lot to think about today. We've had Trevor giving his little story. There's so much. And my prayer today is that you take this seriously and that you allow God to show you what's in your heart and then work on it with God. Expect some tests if you're going to ask God. It's like, God, I need patience. Well, you'll have every opportunity to be patient. So, Lord, if there's anything in me, show me. Show me what's in my heart. And I know that he will. Don't be offended. He'll show you for a good reason. And then continue to grow in the Lord and be okay with who you are. And this morning as I was reading, I came across this quickly and I just want to finish with this. One of my favourite scriptures, Proverbs chapter 3. You see, sometimes we want to please people because we think that makes us valuable. But in Proverbs 3, somewhere in here, okay, here we go. I'll just read 1-4. My child, never forget the things that I have taught you. Store my commandments in your heart. And if you do this, you will live for many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder and write them deep within your heart. This is the key. And then you will find favour with both God and man. And you will earn a good reputation. Firstly, we've got to please God. But by doing that, I believe you regain the respect of people. And if they don't, then they don't need to be your friend. And so trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't depend on your understanding. Seek his will in all you do and he will show you which path to take. Amen. Amen. So, a few things in there this morning.